Morning.
Good morning.
Why don't we begin with prayer? Thank you, God, for this beautiful day that we've been given. Thank you that we can gather together here and look through your word. Lord, I pray that you'll help each one of us to be honest with the things that we hear and the things that we look at, and just help us to keep our minds on you throughout the service and be able to take things home and use them throughout our week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the title for what I'm going to be sharing today is How to Create and Hold On to Our Convictions in a Society That's Very Confused and has very little moral principles. We live in a time that society basically gets its morals by the culture, and the question that I want to ask today is how do we have and hold convictions and successfully build our Christian lives here? That's not only going to lead us in the right direction, but also those that are looking on. We're going to look at the lives of a couple Bible characters here, just use them as examples. First, I want to ask a question, and that is, what things are we allowing to shape us? I have a couple things written down here that I think are pretty high up on the list. First one is friends. It's been said that the five people that you spend the most time with, you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. So that's a pretty scary thought, depending on who you spend the most time with. Entertainment and social media, I think those are pretty influential, high up there. Books and music, education, all these things are shaping us, and all these things are feeding something. They could be feeding something good, they could be feeding some goal, some vision of yours, or they could be feeding yourself and the degradation of your morals and convictions. So what are those things feeding? The world takes its morals from the culture. Most everything now, it seems, is a gray area, it's subjective. Are we content with that? Because pretty much every spiritual standard that we're given in the Bible is contradicted by our society. If you read the Ten Commandments, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, basically anything in there, our society would say they would teach against it. So what's to keep us from caving to that? It's pretty easy to be swayed by this society around us over time. And in 1 Kings 3, we don't need to turn there, I'll just kind of give a overview of the story, but Solomon started out following God. He really started out pretty great and ended up in a really sad situation. We all know the story of Solomon when God came to him in a dream and asked what he would want of all these different things, and Solomon chose wisdom instead of all these other things, and God said, now since you chose wisdom instead of all these other things, I'm going to give you wealth and honor and fame. And so Solomon started out really good, and a lot of his life he lived following God, but in the end he allowed a lot of bad influences into his life, and he was really swayed by the people around him, and he ended up serving their gods, building idols for them. So what happened to Solomon? I think his convictions just did not hold. He was swayed by the society around him, and he ended up in a terrible spot because of that. So in the end, his desire was for pleasure and not God. If we're going through life with that mindset, if we're just looking for pleasure and we don't really have any convictions, how are we going to end up different? This is why building convictions, building spiritual standards for ourselves is important, and looking at influences in our life is important. So I have five different things that I've written down here. And I also want to look at the story of a man who held to his moral standards against the society he was thrown into. So first, let's look at the things I've written down here. First one is live life with a goal and vision. I think that's really important if we want to get somewhere. Sometimes it's hard to have to know exactly what we're shooting for, but if we know what we're going for, it's going to be a lot easier to make decisions. Choose friends carefully. We already looked at the importance of that a little bit. Don't believe in the majority. They're wrong a lot of the time. Don't mind being hated. If you look at Paul's life, you look at anybody that we would consider a strong spiritual person, they were hated by a lot of people. And learn from our objective guide, which is, of course, the Bible. And don't turn away from that. We're going to be looking at Daniel, a little bit of the story of Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 15. Daniel chapter 1. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worth liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, our countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which should eat the portion of the king's meat. So here we see Daniel taking a stand. He did this many times throughout this book. I mean, obviously, when he was thrown in the lion's den, I think this is the first interaction between Daniel and the new culture that he was thrown into here. But Daniel had a vision to withhold his God and his laws in captivity. We see in verse 8 where he says, he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat or with the king's wine. It would seem like he chose his friends and just didn't hang out with the rest of the king's advisors. I mean, it didn't say that anywhere specifically, but it seems like Daniel stood with his people throughout this book. He didn't care what people thought of him. He was willing to be different. We see here where he says, let us do this, and the rest of them can do that. And we'll see at the end of this time. He didn't really care what people thought of him. He was willing to be different. And in the end, he ended up being hated by a lot of people. We see when he got thrown into the lion's den, he was hated by a lot of his, I guess, co-workers kind of thing. But Daniel had a moral guide, and that was the law of God. It wasn't subjective to him. No matter what society, no matter what culture he was in, it was the same. It seemed like Daniel had built these convictions before he was even taken to Babylon. It says he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. And because of that, when he was in this worldly, wealthy, affluent society, this was the world power at the time, and he was in the king's house, but he led still a spiritually successful life. If we look around us, we see people in people's lives, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, even on a national level, a lot of crazy stuff going on. We need people that have morals. We need people like Daniel. From the beginning right to the end of his life, he was faithful to what he believed. I mentioned earlier that we're living in a time where everything is great to a lot of people. Seems like people are trying harder than ever before to smear the lines between what's right and wrong. And the problem is, this isn't just gonna, it's not just gonna affect society, it's not just gonna affect the world, it's gonna push in on us as well, and this is why we need to know and stand for the truth, and that's God's word. In Philippians 3:16, Paul writes, "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Paul says here, whatever level of truth, whatever level of knowledge we have, hold on to it. Let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So, in conclusion, whatever form the influence takes, let us watch it. Let's make sure it doesn't push us where we don't want to be. Because when that happens, our light will also be dim to the world. They won't be able to see the truth that we have. And build and uphold our spiritual standards. This isn't something I haven't really done great at in the past, and but it's something that I've been thinking about, and so I hope it'll encourage each one of us to personally look at the things we allow to influence us and to build those standards. Thank you.